This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells, from pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. I am at Toyota of Portsmouth, and I am thrilled to be here. Give yourselves a big round of applause for showing up today. Such a good crowd so early in the day. We will be here till 6 o'clock. You'll notice in my intro they say the millennial with the mic, and that always made me feel special because I consider myself one of the younger people in the Conservative Party. And I had a friend call me up this morning because everyone's been very excited that Caroline Leavitt is appearing on the show. And my friend said, you're going to have Caroline on. She's younger than you. And all of a sudden, I felt old for the first time.
Good blood, kid.
Before we even get into anything, can we just give Caroline Leavitt a huge round of applause? She is officially a contender here. She won the New Hampshire primary for the first congressional district. Caroline, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Grace.
Now, this is for people who might not be listening in New Hampshire, but from other states. This was a David versus Goliath kind of story. Mm-hmm. Give people the background of what a long shot this appeared to be at the beginning.
Yeah. So I got into this campaign over a year ago. I grew up in the district that I'm running in, that I'm now the nominee in. It still feels crazy to say that. You're not used to it yet, but we will be. We have a lot of work to do to beat Chris Pappas. But I got into this, you know, a year and a half ago. Not many people knew who I was at the time. I had literally $0 in my campaign account, but I had a real passion to fight for the people of my district. I worked for President Trump in the White House fresh out of college. I'm an alumna of St. Anselm College. Went to D.C., didn't know a soul, just worked really, really hard and ultimately ended up working for the press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany. Then I served as the spokeswoman to Congresswoman Elise Stefanik on Capitol Hill following the 2020 election. And that was where the decision to come to Congress came to my mind. First of all, seeing how corrupt and deep the swamp is. And then secondly, working for a young, vibrant female lawmaker who was really shaking it up on Capitol Hill, who was a great ally to my former boss, President Trump. And I felt inspired, you know, why can't I do this for my home district, where I grew up, where I went to school, where my family owns businesses? We deserve a conservative seat at the table, and we're currently represented by a far left Democrat who votes in line with Pelosi 100% of the time. So I came back home and just got to work. I mean, literally the first campaign event I went to was with my father in his pickup truck. It was at the American Legion in Barrington, New Hampshire. Literally no one in the room knew who I was, and I just got up and shared my story. And this was prior to me even announcing my campaign. I just wanted to get a feel for if folks here were receptive to a younger person like myself stepping up to run. And the reception was overwhelmingly positive. So I threw myself into it. We announced the campaign. I went on Fox and Friends. And I, funny story, looked at my campaign guy first day, and I said, you know, now what do I do? He said, pick up the phone, start asking people for money. I said, I can't do that. I mean, really, day one of the campaign, I was nervous to ask anyone for money. I'd never asked for anything in my life. That's just not how I was raised in a business family, you know? But we did it. We raised over $2 million. And over $2 million. And I'm proud to say we raised that from patriots across this state and across this country who believed in me, believed in our message and the movement we put together. We had the best ground game in New Hampshire, arguably, frankly, in history. My team knocked over 70,000 doors, and we won this election the old-fashioned way, going out, meeting and greeting with voters. I see a lot of familiar faces in the crowd today who I've had the honor of not only meeting but getting to know because I showed up and we were everywhere. So we won against all odds. The establishment in Washington spent more than $5 million against me in the last couple of weeks, vicious negative attack ads, because they had their hand pick in the race and they wanted him to win. But it didn't work because we won by 10 points and it was a landslide victory.
It's funny that Caroline, I'm speaking with Caroline Leavitt. It's funny that you mentioned Kayleigh McEnany, because Joe Rogan recently called her the Michael Jordan of press secretaries. And you actually do remind me, just the way you talk, the way you can handle things, of Kayleigh McEnany. Something I get a lot as someone who's younger, like I mentioned, not as young as you, so I got to give that up. But people do ask me, you know, how can we stop the younger generations from being indoctrinated? You know, do you have any friends who are conservative, or how did you become conservative? And I was talking about this with you during the break, and you mentioned that a lot of it was from having conservative voices in your house. But when you look at the public school systems, when you look at higher education, do you think any of the younger generations are going to have a different perspective, or is it going to be all the liberal ideology from here on out?
Well, that's exactly why I decided to run. You know, everyone when I got into this said, wait your turn, you're too young, you know, you have to wait. I said, wait my turn for who? All these old people in Washington who are ripping us off? I mean, frankly, the time is now to shake it up. One, for to stop the corruption and to truly drain the swamp, as we always say. But more importantly, to wake up young generations, especially mine. You know, I'm Generation Z. I'll be the youngest congresswoman ever elected in history when we win in November. And we desperately need young voices in our conservative movement, because as you mentioned, Grace, it begins in our public school system. The indoctrination starts in kindergarten, and it's all the way through 12th grade, and then it starts even more so at the college the higher education university system. I was part of that at St. Anselm College. I mean, even a small Catholic school like that here in New Hampshire was liberal. And I stood my ground. I was one of the only students on the whole campus to support President Trump in the 2016 primary, and got a lot of heat for it. But now looking back, it all worked out, you know? But it's the cultural Marxism is ever present in our society. The left has really seized every institution in this country, not just the school system and the higher ed colleges and universities, but our mainstream media, Hollywood, big tech companies. It's ever present and pervasive. I saw someone sent me something about myself on Snapchat today, and it was like, good luck, America. Caroline Leavitt's going to ruin our country. And I'm like, what? But that's Snapchat, you know? That's an application that my generation and those even younger than I do consume their news on and their media on. So it's ever present. It's 24/7. And we really desperately need conservative younger voices like myself to break through that mold and to teach these kids, like, there's more to life than socialism, dependence on the government. Strong borders is not racist. Respecting your police is not oppressive. And these are all of the ideas they're being taught from a very young age. And there's no better time, there's no better way, and there's never been a more urgent time to elect young conservatives like myself up and down the ballot. That goes for every single, you know, state, local, and federal office. And, you know, it's ironic because the establishment in D.C. were attacking me, and the main point of their attacks was that I'm too young, too immature, too irresponsible for this job. And they underestimated the will of the people and what people want, right? And that's reflected in our major victory, is people are thirsty for youthful, energetic leadership, and we need it more than ever. And voters understand that, and that's what matters to me at the end of the day.
I'm speaking with Caroline Leavitt. For people who are just tuning in, she won the New Hampshire primary for the first congressional district. And you just said, you know, you get a lot of heat for it. And I can tell that you are, you know, mentally tough, and it probably you're able to bounce it off. But make no mistake, it's intense. I mean, I'm not in politics. I can't imagine the level of vitriol that you get thrown your way every single day. But you clearly care more about the people than you do about protecting, you know, your own reputation, because they're going to get really, really dirty here.
Yeah, they are. And we saw it in the primary, too. You know, the attack ads launched against me were not pretty. I mean, it was personal. It wasn't policy. It was personal. It was about me and my family. And that was really hard. I mean, it helps I don't have a TV in my apartment and I don't have cable, so I didn't see it. And I just said, you know, I'm just going to stay positive, keep my head down, and grind and work and talk about the issues that matter. And I prayed to God that the voters were wise enough to see past the BS. And they were. And that's something DC, I think, underestimated as well, the wisdom of the people of this great state and how they understand, frankly, when they're attacking you, it's because they fear you. and they know you're going to be effective and you're not going to go along to get along. And that's exactly the type of campaign I've been running, and that's exactly the type of congresswoman I will be when I'm elected in January. But of course the Democrats are going to go personal and low. I mean, now it's time for Republicans to unite. All of us have to get together because we have a serious job to do. We have to beat a far left Democrat who holds this seat. And it's going to take all hands on deck to do that. But they're going to go low. I mean, Pappas is already running a negative attack out on me on the issue of abortion, completely lying about my position. I've stated consistently that this issue belongs to the states, and he's saying the opposite. So they lie, they fearmonger. There are signs led by Democrats up on people's yards that were KKK Caroline. I mean, that's, first of all, what a disgusting thing to say about anyone. And that's what they do, though, right? They call you racist. They call you homophobic. They smear you personally because the Democrats can't stand on policy. And we all have to remember that. Don't take the bait. Don't get into the personal attacks. We have policy and results and achievements on our side. And we have to talk about those. And so I'll always take the high road and keep hammering the issues because that's what people care about.
I'm so glad you just said that, because you mentioned the racist angle, you mentioned the abortion, and all I can think about is, well, those are two things they'd rather talk about than inflation.
100%.
Because you talk about the voters in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and you say what they care about. Have you been hearing from people that inflation is up there on their list?
100%. Every single person I talk to, right? It's inflation, inflation, inflation. I mean, the rising cost of food. I was on a call yesterday with a restaurant owner who's been a great supporter of mine, and he told me, Caroline, I've upped the prices on my menu more than 5 times in the last 15 months alone to keep up with the rising cost of inflation. Profit margins are minimizing for every business in this country. I don't care what you own. You own, you're in hospitality, you're in the restaurant industry. My family, we're in the car business, like Jimmy here. You know, the price of everything, every good and service is going up, and it's not only hurting our business community, but the individual as well. And I saw a report this morning, you know, inflation is exceeding the rising cost of the rise in wages as well. So people are making less, but they're paying for more. And here in New Hampshire, particularly, our energy costs are skyrocketing. I mean, our electricity rates are 4 times as high. Eversource basically put a letter warning us of that effect. We also, you know, we're a cold weather state. The Biden administration sent a letter to our federal delegation, Chris Pappas included, that we're going to have a home heating oil shortage this winter. I bet you didn't hear about that because Chris Pappas doesn't share that with you, because he'd rather talk about racism and abortion rather than these very, very real issues that are impacting all of us and our families. It's my goal to talk about those issues, to be a strong spokeswoman for them, and to call him out for his voting record that has enabled all of these crises.
So were you not at the inflation reduction party that Biden was hosting this week? I'm going to take that as a no.
Can't say I received an invitation to that one. That was disgusting. I mean, really, it was. It's laughable that that's what they're doing. They're having concerts in the Rose Garden or wherever it was at the White House when we have the worst jobs report and market day since the COVID-19 pandemic. 8.2% inflation, and they have some guy singing. I mean, it's frankly a slap in the face to all of us. It's laughable, but it really is insulting. We should all be insulted that that's how they're treating us, and they're trying to lie. And this press secretary, you brought up Kayleigh McEnany. I mean, this press secretary now is the worst. Gosh, who hired her? I mean, come on, she's horrible. Kayleigh was the goat, and this woman, you know, is lying because they can't defend the policies and the crises that they have manufactured.
Caroline, I know I'm being greedy here. Do you think you could hang on through the break and come back with
for
us?
For sure.
All right, everyone, give Caroline a big round of applause. We're going to be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and I can.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Power. Listeners love the Thunderstorm air purifier. One customer texted in, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm has been so great. Hockey season is starting and driving several hours in the car with my 12-year-old in a stinky hockey bag is now much easier to endure. One of Howie's VIPs told us that his wife sells used clothing online, and it's nice stuff, but sometimes the clothes come with lingering smoke smells. So she uses the extension cord, puts the Eden Pure bag in a bag with the clothes, and all the unpleasant odors are gone within an hour. So for all of your unwanted smells, whether it be from pets, cooking, damp basement, smoke, whatever it is, you need the Thunderstorm. And right now, what's great, we were just talking about inflation with Caroline Levitt. This is a great time to start buying Christmas gifts. The earlier, the better. And especially if you can get the three-pack and use maybe a few for yourself, give one as a Christmas gift, go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We are back here with the woman who just won the New Hampshire primary for the 1st Congressional District. She's a Gen Zer, and her name is Caroline Levitt. Let's give her a big round of applause. Caroline, the texters are very impressed. You just won over a lot of people already. Tell people, cool, first of all, your website if they want to go and support you.
Yeah, please. We need all the support we can get in this race against our far-left Democrat puppet, Chris Pappas. You can go to my website, carolineforcongress.com, and it's Caroline with a K. So it's carolineforcongress.com, Caroline with a K. I'm also on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Getter, Truth Social. I run all of my accounts myself, fun fact. As a Gen Zer, I think that's important. Let my authentic voice shine through. So check out the website, carolineforcongress.com. Look, we need all the support we can get. We have to raise $5 million to beat this Democrat, and we have 8 weeks to do it. So all hands on deck, please.
If there's anyone I think could probably do it, Caroline, it would be you, based off this interview alone. Something I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned illegal immigration. There's obviously a lot going on in New England right now. Illegal aliens were being sent to Martha's Vineyard, and the beautiful people on the island are very upset. Mm-hmm. What's your stance on immigration, and what have you been hearing from the voters in New Hampshire?
Well, first of all, this wide open southern border and this illegal invasion of our country is probably the greatest dereliction of duty of any president in modern day history. I mean, truly. Joe Biden, since day one, has allowed this to occur, and we've seen more than 4 million illegal aliens come into our country. That's nearly double the amount of citizens there are in this state of New Hampshire. So where are these people going? Who are they? We know many of them are on the terrorist watch list. We had a horrific stabbing in Nashua, New Hampshire, one of our biggest cities, of an elderly woman by an illegal immigrant who came here since this administration has been in office. And so this is led by Joe Biden, but it's enabled by my Democrat opponent, Chris Pappas, as well. We've seen a very high surge of fentanyl coming into our state. We might not see the human impact, the illegal immigration impact of this yet, in New Hampshire, but we have seen it with the scourge of drugs coming into our communities. Our law enforcement community is really suffering right now. I had the pleasure of speaking with two ICE agents, actually, at a recent meet and greet in Seabrook. Fascinating, actually. They're both young women, Grace. You'd appreciate this. And I went up to, I said, what do you guys do, you know? They're like, well, we work for the Department of Homeland Security. I said, oh, that's cool. What do you do? They're like, we're ICE agents. I was like, okay, you badass. You know, I don't know if I can say that on the show, but, you know, they were really cool, strong women. So anyway, I talked to them and they said, our hands are tied. We are not allowed to do anything. Unless you are a convicted felon, you are not allowed to be deported from this country. So if you're an illegal alien, you can be charged with a felony. You can have a misdemeanor. You can be convicted of a misdemeanor. Unless you're a convicted felon, you're not allowed to be deported. So now what's happening, right? You mentioned it. These governors around the country and other states are fed up with it. So they're shipping these illegal immigrants around the nation. And I love Governor DeSantis. I think he's doing a great job. But I don't want those people 130 miles south of our state of New Hampshire. You know, why are we bussing them around this country? They deserve to go. They should be going home. They should be deported back to their homelands, period. And this is, thank you. This is an immediate and direct threat to the safety of citizens of my district, which I am running to represent. And I take that very seriously. And border security needs to be an immediate and utmost priority when we take back the House in January, no doubt.
Now, Caroline, we only have a little bit of time here. If you were to run through your top three priorities, I think we've hit some of them in this conversation, but just give people a rundown of the top three.
For sure. Inflation. We have to stop the unmitigated spending coming out of Washington. That's not only led by Democrats, but it's enabled by weak Republicans, frankly, too. D.C., Congress is not a piggy bank. I'm the only Republican candidate in this race that ever said I would have voted against the Ukraine, $54 billion that they stole from us to send to a country very far away. Right? To secure their border while our border is invaded. Immigration, education, so many priorities we have.
Can you stick around?
Sure!
I got her again! All right, we'll be right back with Caroline Levitt. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. We are at Toyota of Portsmouth. Give yourselves a big round of applause. Thanks so much for coming out today. And I'm speaking with Caroline Levitt. She just won the first congressional, the primary for the first congressional district in New Hampshire. And I have to say, Caroline, I'm very relieved that you're running for office. Because if you weren't, I'd feel like my job was in jeopardy. Because you're doing a very good job with the listeners. People really like hearing from you. But you're busy right now.
Yes. Okay, a little good. Too busy. But I believe in term limits, so I won't be in Congress very long.
Uh-oh. So okay. That's a threat.
When you're ready to retire, Grace, I'll take over for you.
All right. Well, my next question for you, Caroline, is along the lines of something you had mentioned earlier. You said, it's time for Republicans to get together. It's time to, you know, this is the next step. We're heading towards the midterms. How has the GOP been since your win about, you know, are they receptive to you coming in? Have they been supportive? Have you heard from any of the big wigs in D.C.?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've heard from everyone. And honestly, truthfully, I am grateful for it because I realize what I'm up against. And, you know, I swallowed what happened. Victory is the best revenge, right? And we won. And we won by 10 points. And you know what? The voters of this district made their voices very clear. They wanted me to be the Republican nominee to take down Chris Pappas. And so every Republican I've spoken with is accepting of that, has extended their help, and I'll take it because you know what? We need all hands on deck to beat Pappas. We really do. The Democrat machine is well-funded. They're well-organized. They're already up on television spending millions of dollars against me. We have a lot of money to raise. We have a lot of support to earn. And, you know, we all got into this race, especially, you know, my opponents in the race. We had a unity breakfast here in New Hampshire, and I applauded my opponents. It was a hard-fought race. There were things said that, you know, it hurt, but I extended my grace to them and said, look, we all have to come together. Now, I'm not sure if they will, but hey, you know what? I did extend that, and I hope that they will, but I have heard from a lot of people, both in D.C. and here in New Hampshire, donors who gave to my opponents who are now, you know, happy to help donate to me. Yeah. So I appreciate that. Because that's what it's going to take. Ultimately, we all have one goal, and that's beating the Democrats and taking back the House.
Well, I just got a text from a family friend of mine, and she wrote, does Caroline Levitt need donations? I only caught the last part of her talk with you. What do you think?
Please.
Would you like them?
We need all the donations. CarolineForCongress.com. For all of those listening, again, Caroline with a K, CarolineForCongress.com. You can go online and give or write a check, and our address is on the website, too.
All right, so we talked a lot about some of the hard-hitting issues that are facing people here in New Hampshire, including inflation and illegal immigration. But there are some issues that are more ideological that are taking over the left wing in this country, and one of them is biological men playing in women's sports. And you're Gen Z. I know that you played college softball. What are your feelings on this?
I have very strong feelings on this, and I've been very vocal about it. You know, the fact that men are allowed to compete against women in America today is disgusting, and it's despicable, period. This is an issue that I don't believe is partisan. I think it's a common sense issue. I've talked to a lot of Democrats about it, independents about it, and nobody agrees that a 6'4" man who weighs 250 should be swimming against young women who are 5'2" and weigh 130. I mean, it's just not fair. It's not right. Men and women are different. That's a biological fact that's been true since the beginning of time. And if we as conservatives are not willing to speak on that and have the courage to conserve that very basic human principle, then what are we conserving after all? I mean, we're failing to do our jobs. So we need to take serious action on this. And I've pledged to introduce legislation in Congress that would actually strip taxpayer funding from going to any public-funded college or university that allows for these injustices to occur. Because when you threaten the money, when you threaten the dollar signs, usually that makes for some change. And we should do that because it's injustice. And it's also a direct violation of Title IX, which is a federal law that women and girls fought so hard to get implemented back in the 60s and 70s. So we have to take real action on this. And I can't wait to be a really loud and proud spokeswoman for women and girls across this state and country who feel ripped off.
All right, I got to read you some of these texts. 603 says, I'm in love. 617 says, what a strong candidate. Another 603 says, she has my vote. What a departure from AOC. All right, I want to talk a little bit. We're talking about following the science here.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of push coming from the left for these green initiatives, and a lot of candidates right now running into the midterms, that is a big part of their platform. What do you make of, you know, renewable energy, some of these rebates, some of these green initiatives, and what's your stance on fossil fuels?
Well, my stance on fossil fuels is we need them. We need fossil fuels, no doubt about it. This administration has launched a war on our domestic energy production since day one. Day one priority was to cancel the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, how is that helping America? How is that putting the American people first? It's not. It's putting them last. And the reason being, and we have to start calling out the Democrats for this, right? We all know the solutions. It's going back to what we implemented under President Trump. Domestic energy independence in production, tapping into the resources we have here in our great country, providing for those good paying oil jobs, and reversing, you know, the ban on drilling on federal lands, et cetera, et cetera. But we also have to start calling out the Democrats for why they're doing this. It's because they want complete and total control over our lives. And so, and Green New Deal, the Green New Deal policy, which is a boondoggle, it would be terrible for our economy and our whole country, is a vehicle to socialism. And they use climate change as a vehicle to socialism. And the scariest thing I've found over the last year campaigning, especially talking to a lot of our youth, my generation, going to every college campus in this district, is that unfortunately young people are buying into that narrative. I mean, they truly believe the world is going to implode in 12 years if we don't pass the Green New Deal. AOC has convinced them of that on social media. You know, I disagree with her on policy completely, but she's an effective messenger and people listen to her and they believe in what she's saying. And we need someone who can counter that and combat it. What they're trying to do with this whole social push, this whole energy push is really disastrous for our country. It's helping obviously lead to inflation. Gas prices are soaring. Our electric bills are going up. It's going to cost a lot to fuel our homes this winter, and it's devastating consequences. We're all feeling it. But I think it's a major reason why we're going to take back the House this year, because the American people are smarter and they don't buy it.
I'm speaking with Caroline Leavitt, and we mentioned before how, you know, all hands on deck now, but if you win, you will have to work with, you know, people that you don't necessarily agree with everything on. And I think sometimes, and I don't want to speak here for the conservative voters, but sometimes conservatives get a little hesitant when they send people into office that they're going to turn on them. I don't get that vibe from you, Caroline, based on what you said, but how can you assure people that you're going to stay true to what you mean, and even if you do have to work across the aisle, or even if you do have to make friends in the swamp, that you're not going to become a swamp creature?
Well, I'm willing to work with anyone, but I will never, ever, ever undermine my conservative principles and values that I ran on in the first place, which is, you know, pro-God, pro-family, pro-Constitution, pro-Supreme Court, and pro-freedom. And it's been my utmost... Thank you. My utmost priority in Congress is going to be to get the federal government out of our lives, whether it's our economy, our education system, our election system. I want to go to Congress to make it smaller and make the bureaucracy in D.C. smaller. And if a Democrat wants to work with me to achieve that goal, sure. I don't think I'll find one, but I'll look for them.
You know, I was going to say, Caroline, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I don't think those Democrats exist anymore. But I will always fight for the people. And we did it throughout the campaign. You know, that was the beauty of not being beholden. I'm not beholden to anyone. because no one helped me out. And now it's time to just keep fighting on till the November general election and take that same approach when we're elected in January.
Caroline, I thank you so much for giving us so much of your time. I do have one last question for you. How would you describe the people that you met along the road here in your campaign? I know you talked to a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life. What stuck out to you about the voters in New Hampshire?
It's so humbling, really. Like, the outpouring of support I received, seeing the results come in on Tuesday night, I was like, I'm still at a loss for words for it. We won almost every single town and city and ward in the entire district. We won by 10 points, and it was like, wow. You know, the fact that people believe in me and my message is something I will never forget, and I'm so honored to be the Republican nominee. And I've spoken with such hardworking people like my family. Neither of my parents went to college. They have a business here in the district. They just get up every day and work hard. And that's what I love about the people of New Hampshire. And we love freedom, right? We're the live free or die state, baby. And we got to protect that. And it's been the most humbling experience of my life. Truly.
Caroline, give everyone your website one more time, and then we're going to give you a big round of applause.
Yes, carolineforcongress.com, and it's Caroline with a K, so you can't forget it. Carolineforcongress.com. We need all the support we can get. Look forward to meeting with you guys all throughout the campaign, but we need support from across the country. So let's keep working hard. Like I said through the primary, we're going to work like we're 10 points behind, and then we'll win 10 points ahead. And that's our mentality. So let's go do it. Let's win. Thank you, guys.
Excellent, excellent work. I might, based off this interview, I might have to stop bashing Gen Zers because you've changed my mind. You've changed my mind, but I might still bash them a little bit when the time comes. Caroline, thank you so much. All right, today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. For all your unwanted smells from pets, cooking, damp basement, smoke, whatever it is, you need the Thunderstorm. So buy the three-pack and use a couple for yourself. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE3. Shipping is free. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose response to the illegal immigrant drop-offs was the funniest? Joe Scarborough, Joe Biden, Martha's Vineyard residents, or Lori Lightfoot?
Joe Biden's was pretty funny that he said we have a process in place, because I don't know what process he's privy to that we're not, but that one was laughable. We haven't played Lori Lightfoot. If you don't know, Lori Lightfoot is the mayor and the face of Chicago. That's why she can get her hair cut during the lockdowns and you can't. And this is what she had to say about illegal aliens being shipped on buses or being bussed into Chicago. Cut 7.
The federal government has to step up. I was in Washington, D.C. last week talking to members of Customs and Border Patrol, National FEMA, ICE, and DHS. And we made it very clear, I made it very clear, that our expectation is that they were going to have a plan that features communication and collaboration with interior cities. And they must do that, and they must do that soon. I know that they are under enormous pressures. This is not a new challenge at the border, but this is a new challenge for us, and we need federal support, resources, communication, and collaboration, and that has to come in short order.
It's a new problem for us, so we need help. Well, if you're in a border town, good luck. That's what you signed up for. I mean, the fact that liberals say this stuff out loud and at no point does it dawn on them how ridiculous they sound is always going to be amazing to me. We will be right back. We're going to have Howie Carr with us. He's in the building, everybody, so you can get very excited. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. We paid attention to the $400K, and they slipped this in under our noses. They will soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you spent. We've already talked about the Venmo. They're going to be looking at Venmo and all that stuff. So this is no joke. In the words of Joe Biden, this is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg. Now you have to protect it. This is what you need to do. Get Monetary Gold's new guide, 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. Time is of the essence. It's 888-617-7994. Get 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. 888-617-7994. One more round of applause for Caroline Levitt. Caroline just made my last hour of the show very, very easy. We're very grateful for that. We'll be right back with more. We're at Toyota of Portsmouth. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. 617 says your audience is fired up. Can you blame them, though? We're at Toyota of Portsmouth. We got food from the 110 Grill. Caroline Levitt is here, and she is just showing everyone why she was able to beat the odds and win the New Hampshire primary for the first congressional district. And on top of all of that, I don't know if people saw, there's a wiener dog that I got a beautiful picture of, a wiener dog named
Daisy.
So our cup runneth over, needless to say. And I almost forgot.
Love your dog.
The most important part, Howie Carr is here. Sorry.
This is what I didn't fear, but I thought was going to happen, is that there'd be more people when we came today wanted their picture taken with Caroline than with me.
And you shudder to think that.
There's a new kid in town.
All right, Howie. I think it's safe to say that you have some material to go over today.
Oh, I sure do. Look at this. Look at all this stuff I got.
Howie, I drove Howie here today, and he was just grinning from ear to ear because, if you haven't heard, Ron DeSantis sent two planes. When people first said two planes, I thought it was going to be, I mean, maybe it's because I didn't.
What, you think it was going to be a Piper Cub? They were going to, like, parachute out?
I thought there was going to be more people. It's only 50, and they're already sending them back. The buses have come to move them back to Cape Cod.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They've been gone for hours now. The town, the island of Martha's Vineyard has already nominated itself for a Profiles in Courage Award.
Because they've just been so brave.
Governor Charlie Baker, also known as Charlie Parker, has mobilized the National Guard. There are 50 illegal aliens. Only a few of them have gang tattoos. But he's got 2.5 National Guardsmen for every one of the illegal aliens mobilized. I mean, it's insane. And now they're going, another great irony here, they're moving them to Joint Base Cape Cod. Do you know where that is, Grace?
No.
It's in Buzzards Bay, which is in the town of, as the fake Indian calls it, Burn. Most people call it Born, but she calls it Burn. So that's where they're going to be spending their time now.
Do you have any predictions of where DeSantis or Abbott or any of these monsters are going to send illegal aliens next?
I think Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian, really deserves a couple of busloads in Harvard Square. Now that I don't own property in Harvard Square anymore. Do you like that? How about Mr. Frosty's place in Malden? The problem there is he hasn't been there in 30 years. I don't think he could find the place with GPS.
Yeah, he'd be unfazed by it.
Yeah.
Howie, I'm sure you heard this, but Pete Buttigieg was on CNBC, and he has no regrets about the administration having a celebration for inflation. Have you been noticing inflation decreasing? Are you celebrating?
No, we said, Let's Go Brandon is still one of our most popular segments. You know, my favorite part of your interview with Caroline, and I'm going to put it in my column on Sunday, is when she said, and there they were, the inflation rate's up, the market's crashing, and some guy is singing at the White House.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I wish I knew James Taylor as some guy. He's been a blight on my entire life, going back to when I was in high school.
Changed rock and roll.
Hello, Martha's Vineyard. Are you ready to watch me play guitar on a stool? Now here's a song that's basically directions to Boston.
You know, it is funny about James Taylor. What a week for him. He starts off the week at the South Lawn doing his little party shtick. And then this news happens about Martha's Vineyard. His head must be spinning.
But now he's been reduced to some guy.
I know, by Caroline. I really do like that, some guy. And someone laughed afterwards and said, I like how you called James Taylor that. And she said, oh, is that James Taylor? I didn't read the story. That's the kind of politician I like, who's
Caroline,
not reading about James
you
Taylor.
You haven't missed much.
Yeah. You haven't missed much. All right, Hal, you've got a great show planned for today. Everyone should come on by. We'll be here till 6 o'clock.
And Caroline will be back in the second segment of the show just to check in, and we'll have her back. And we got all kinds of stuff. We got Police Blotter Facts Friday. We got the T-shirts for sale. Make gas cheap again, or let's go, Brandon. Come on by. We got food from the 110 Grill.
All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming out for my show. Howie will be up next. And thank you to Jim Boyle from Toyota of Portsmouth. We'll be right back.